the beginning of the journey, Ismael emerges as a fundamental figure in the ancient biblical scriptures. He is the firstborn of Abraham, the man whom God promised to be the father of many nations. The promise was made to Abraham as he contemplated the starry sky, a vision that reflected the magnitude of the promises to come. However, over time, challenges arose. Abraham and his wife Sarah were anxiously awaiting the fulfillment of the promise, but the blessing of fatherhood had not yet materialized. Hope began to be replaced by uncertainties. Sarah, looking to find a solution, suggested a common practice at that time: having a son through her Egyptian servant Hagar. Although this practice was common, it soon became a source of tension. The situation worsened when Sarah began to treat Hagar with cruelty, and feeling lost and oppressed, she fled to the desert. The name Ismael, given to the son Hagar carried in her womb, it meant God listens. It was a reminder that even amidst difficulties, God was attentive to the lives of Abraham and Sarah. The lives of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar were intertwined by complex choices, intense emotions, and unwavering faith in a divine promise. The journey of Ismael was just beginning, and in the desert, he would seek his identity and purpose near a well. A magical encounter was about to happen. This encounter would shape Ismael's destiny and mark the beginning of a new phase in his story. A voice echoed in the silence of the desert. "Where do you come from, and where are you going?" The voice belonged to the angel of the Lord, who presented himself before Hagar, a desperate mother on her journey with tears in her eyes. She confessed to him, "I am fleeing from the presence of my lady Sarai." The angel, with authority and kindness, advised her to return to her lady and submit to her authority. In his words, divine promises intertwined. "I will greatly multiply way to your descendants," proclaimed the angel, "so many that they cannot be counted." Then the profound news arrived. "Look, you are pregnant and will have a son. Call him Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." This divine encounter painted a picture of Ishmael's fate. It was prophesied he would be a wild man. "His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He will live in the presence of all his brothers." Overwhelmed by this divine encounter, Hagar felt seen in a way she had never experienced before. She proclaimed with tears mixed with reverence, "Are you the God who sees?" This encounter became a symbol of the God who was present in her distress. Thus, Hagar gave birth to a son, and Abraham called him Ishmael. This event was a testimony to the power of faith, the resilience of the human spirit, and the unbreakable connection between the divine and the mortal. Over time, Ishmael's presence held a unique place in the family dynamic, even though his birth was the result of a common practice of that time. This marked only the beginning of his journey when Abraham was 86 years old. Ishmael would grow up as part of a unique tapestry, a life tied both to promise and uncertainty. Years passed, and the tapestry of Ishmael's life began to unfold. His father Abraham moved his tent to the shade of the terebinth trees and built an altar in Hebron, symbolizing faith and devotion. However, Ishmael's story was intricately intertwined with unexpected turns. At 13, a covenant was forged through circumcision, binding the members of Abraham's household in a sacred bond. Over time, Ishmael and his mother faced exile, a painful separation. They wandered the desert on the verge of despair until God's compassion was awakened and their pleas were heard in the vastness of the desert. The young man's journey was marked by trials and triumphs, a history that resonated with divine intervention and the enduring spirit of a people destined for greatness. Ishmael spent the rest of his life in the desert, especially in the wilderness. With the help of God, it was here that he learned to handle the bow. His marriage to an Egyptian explained his proximity to Egypt, as well as his mother's legacy. His presence at Abraham's funeral and the fact that Esau married the daughter of Ishmael demonstrated that he did not completely sever ties with the main patriarchal line. Genesis chapter 15, verse 9, New International Version says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon.'" Ishmael went to Abraham and married Mahalat, daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, and sister of Nebaioth. Ishmael lived 137 years and was gathered with his people. Genesis chapter 25, verse 9, New International Version says, "And he went to Ishmael, son of Abraham, and took Mahalat as his wife, sister of Nebaioth, and daughter of Ishmael." Despite his experiences in the desert and his nomadic life, Ishmael maintained ties that transcend the boundaries of the patriarchal family. The personality of Ishmael was characterized by God as that of a wild donkey, in the sense of being a wanderer running through the desert hills, his home where he found food. He mocked the crowds of the city and did not obey the voice of those who guided him. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 24, New Living Translation. Ishmael became a prominent figure outside of the covenant established by God. He became a prosperous nation with an organizational structure similar to that of Israel, but without the direct experience of the covenant. Genesis chapter 21, verse 21, New International Version. Despite not being part of God's direct covenant with Abraham, his journey and legacy remain intrinsically linked to the fabric of the biblical story and to the formation of the nation that would arise from the sands of time. Thus unfolded the divine covenant: "A nation will arise from you, and I will establish my covenant between me, you, and your descendants throughout the generations, an everlasting covenant to be your God and the God of your descendants. I will also give to you and your descendants the land on which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 to 8, New International Version. "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between you and your future descendants to be their God and the God of them. I will give to you and to them the land in which you now live as strangers, all the land of Canaan, where they will be strangers," said God to Abraham. "As for you, keep my covenant with you and your descendants throughout the generations. This is my covenant between you and your descendants. All males must be circumcised. They shall be circumcised in the flesh of their foreskins, and this shall be a sign of the covenant between you and me." Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 to 11, New International Version. 8 days after birth, every boy must be circumcised, whether born in your household or bought with money, regardless of whether they are descendants or foreigners. Circumcision will be a permanent marker of the covenant, but whoever is not circumcised once reached the age will be cut off from his people, thus breaking the covenant. Genesis chapter 17, verse 14, New International Version. God made a declaration about Sarai, the wife of Abraham, who from now on would be called Sarah. God would bless her and give her a son named Isaac. He highlighted that her descendants would be notable, generating nations and kings. Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 to 16, New International Version. Abraham fell face down, asking if a man of 100 years could have a son, and if Sarah at 90 years could give. Despite her wish for Ishmael, God reiterated that Sarah would give birth to a son named Isaac. He also affirmed that he would bless Ishmael and make him fruitful, giving him 12 princes and turning him into a great nation. However, the covenant would be established with Isaac, the son that Sarah would give birth to the following year. Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 to 21, New International Version. Thus, the saga of the divine covenant continued, intertwining destinies, promises, and the formation of the chosen people. When the divine word ceased, God left Abraham's presence. Abraham circumcised Ishmael, his son, along with all born in his house and those bought with money, according to God's command. Abraham was 99 years old, and Abraham, Ishmael, 13 years old, when the circumcision was performed. This act marked the consummation of the commitment to God and the covenant, a permanent mark which united Abraham, Ishmael, and all those under his roof to that divine promise. The contrast between national greatness and the experience of the covenant reveals much about what the covenant really meant. National greatness was promised in Genesis chapter 21, verse 13, and chapter 18, New International Version, while Genesis chapter 17, verses 22 to 27, New International Version, shows that the covenant must not be identified with circumcision, even though this identification might seem necessary due to Genesis 17:10. Even though Ishmael was circumcised according to God's mandate, he was not the sign of the covenant. Despite this, Abraham and Sarah treated Ishmael as a son promised by God. Even when God revealed that Sarah would give birth to a son, Abraham was perplexed by the need for this new promise rather than considering Ishmael as his heir. Still, after the birth of Isaac, Abraham treated Ishmael kindly and was grieved by Sarah's wish to reject him. On the other hand, Sarah saw Ishmael as a threat to Isaac's position. In the family, Sarah sought to expel Ishmael. God, for his part, fulfilled his promises by blessing Abraham and Sarah with the birth of a son in their old age. Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, New International Version. The dynamics in Abraham's family continued to be shaped by divine promises and personal relationships. Abraham named his son from his union with Sarah, Isaac, following God's command. Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old. At that time, Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah, seeing the fulfillment of the divine promise, exclaimed, "God has made me laugh. Everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." Genesis chapter 21, verses 6 to 7, New International Version. Isaac grew up and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast. However, Sarah observed Ishmael, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, mocking. This deeply disturbed her, and she asked Abraham to send away Hagar and her son Ishmael. Sarah insisted that the slave woman's son should not share the same status as Isaac. Genesis chapter 21, verses 10 to 11, New International Version. Although Abraham was distressed by this proposal, God ordered him to heed Sarah's request and send away Hagar and Ishmael. God promised that he would also make a great nation of Ishmael because of his relationship with Abraham. In the morning, Abraham got up, prepared provisions, and gave them to Hagar with her son Ishmael. He sent them to the desert of Beersheba, Genesis chapter 21, verses 14 to 16, New International Version. In the desert, when the water in the skin was gone, Hagar put Ishmael under a bush and moved away, not wanting to watch her son die. But God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar, comforting her and promising to make a great nation of Ishmael. God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water. Thus, Ishmael grew up in the desert of Paran, becoming a skilled archer. Genesis chapter 21. During the same period, Abimelech, commander of his army, sought a friendship pact with Abraham, recognizing God's blessing upon his life. Abraham agreed, but also reproached Abimelech over a dispute concerning a well. After the negotiations, they both made a covenant, and Abraham offered seven lambs as a sign of agreement. This place was called Beersheba, for it was where they both swore by God. Genesis chapter 21, verses 32 to 34, New International Version. The interactions between Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, and Hagar continue to show the complexity of family relationships and how faith and divine promises shaped the story of these characters. The confrontation between Abimelech and Abraham reveals the complications of interpersonal relations. While divine promises are fulfilled and the destinies of these biblical characters continue to intertwine, of those seven separated lambs, Abraham explained that they would serve as witnesses that he had dug the well. This led to the place being called Beersheba, and there they made a covenant. Genesis chapter 21 verses 30 to 32, New International Version. Abimelech asked Abraham what those seven sheep he had set apart meant. Abraham replied, "Take these seven sheep from my hand as a testimony that I have dug this well." So they called that place Beersheba, because there they swore an oath. Then Abimelech and his companions went to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk in Beersheba and called upon the name of the Lord, the Eternal God, and stayed in the land of the Philistines for many days. Planting the tamarisk symbolized permanence and faithfulness. This place became a landmark of his journey and of the alliances made there. Abraham's decision to send away Hagar and Ishmael seemed to contradict the norms of the time. Although children of servant women could be relegated, expulsion was not a practice common. The fact that Abraham followed only the command of God, even though it was contrary to contemporary practices, suggests that the action was not in line with the standards of the time. This raises the question of whether Ishmael represented a threat for some specific reason, or if his mere existence was considered a threat. The word mocking in Genesis chapter 21 verse 9, New International Version, is ambiguous in its meaning, and it is not clear if Ishmael was mocking or playing with Isaac. Sarah's objection towards Ishmael does not seem to be based on a specific action, but on her concern that Ishmael could be a competitor for Isaac. The story of Ishmael in Genesis is often used to contrast Isaac and Ishmael, not as individuals, but as examples of divine work. The preference of God for Isaac, the son of the wife, was aligned with the traditions, but the rejection of Hagar and Ishmael served to highlight the contrast between the two. The descendants of Ishmael are listed in an identical manner in two passages, Genesis and 1 Chronicles. Genesis chapter 25, verses 12 to 16, describes the genealogy of Ishmael as follows. This is the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son. These are the names of his sons, by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, then Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Namish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and their camps, 12 princes, according to their nations. 1 Chronicles chapter 1 verses 29 to 31 provides a similar list. These are the genealogical records of them. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebaioth, then Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Namish, and Kedema. It is surprising that exactly 12 sons are listed for Ishmael. Just like the 12 sons of Jacob, this can also be compared to the 12 sons of Nah, the 12 sons of Esau. Genesis chapter 25 verse 16 highlights that these sons of Ishmael became princes who ruled over the Ishmaelites. These Israeli tribes settled in the general area where their ancestors grew up, that is, the desert of Paran, Genesis chapter 25 verse 18. The death of Ishmael is mentioned occurring in the presence of all his brothers. The story of Ishmael is in line with God's statements about him. The Ishmaelites are sometimes portrayed as hostile towards the Israelis. Genesis chapter 25 verse 19 mentions a conflict between the Israelis and the Israeli tribes as Geti's Inodbi. Genesis 16:12 describes Ishmael as a wild man, whose hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand would be against him. This description illustrates the complexity of the relationships between the descendants of Ishmael and Israel. With conflicts and rivalries emerging throughout history, Ishmael is described as a wild man, whose hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand would be against him, and he should dwell in the presence of all his brothers. Finally, the Ishmaelites are associated with the Midianites. Some of the descendants of Segura are also mentioned as Assyrian tribes in some passages, suggesting an overlap of the two terms. The term Ishmaelite is applied to the Midianites, and the same group receives both names in Genesis chapter 37, verses 25 to 28, where Joseph's brothers sell him to a caravan of traders, and in Genesis chapter 37, verses 36 to 39, where Joseph is sold to Potiphar in Egypt. It is not necessary to distinguish between an immediate account and an Ishmaelite account for the sale of Joseph. Judges chapter 8, verse 24, New International Version. The Apostle Paul also references the episode involving Ishmael, though he does not mention Ishmael by name in Galatians 4. Paul compares Ishmael, born according to the flesh, with the persecutor of him who was born according to the... However, as at that time the son born of human nature persecuted the son born according to the spirit, so also now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 29, New International Version. Paul refers to the story of Ishmael and Isaac, where Ishmael, the son born of the slave, pursued Isaac, the son born of the promise and of Sarah. This passage from Galatians reflects the complexity of the relationships between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, as well as the spiritual and symbolic implications of these events in Pauline theology.